And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
Blessed day, Pearl Jam faithful. My name is Regina R. from Little Old Bakersfield, California. It's time for the Single Podcast Theory weekly sermon with the ministers Brad and Brad. Glory be and amen.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I am Brad Lyons.
And I am Brad Blazek.
Welcome to episode 63. There's these drummers, man. We got to talk about
63.
Them. 63. Yeah, man. 63 episodes. Come on.
It's crazy.
Just keeps going.
Weird, right? Oops.
Guess what? Next week will be number 64. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, that's awesome.
Counting. It's weird how that Brad works. What's been going on, man? You've been busy. You've been a busy little bee.
Work was very busy this week. And I had one day in particular that about killed me.
A lot of stairs.
Yeah, we went to an apartment. It's an old, burned down popcorn factory that they have turned into apartments on top and like offices in the middle. And we had to do, I think it was 19 apartments. So we had to bring like everything: fridge, stove, washer, dryer, microwave, dishwasher to all 19 apartments. And they were all upstairs, like three flights of 7 or 8 steps each flight.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Mm-mm.
It was ridiculous,
dude. My back would be done.
Yeah, that was rough. I mean, I've worked 10-12 hour days before, but it's usually like drive to someone's house, put in a fridge, then you drive for half an hour to the next house,
You're and
then
constantly.
You put in like a wash and dryer. It's easy, but this was like all fucking day. Upstairs, back down, grab another fridge, go upstairs, back down. I mean, it was just nonstop.
Ugh.
And this is like 3 days later and I'm still feeling it in my old man knees. So
yeah, I hear
before
you,
we started, I was like, I asked Susan, like, can you put that stuff on my knees? So I'm like,
that sounded really
scent,
weird.
The scent.
You that, put like, that stuff on my knees. It puts the lotion on its skin.
Yeah, exactly. I might have to have her come back in here and do it again about halfway through this.
No breaks. But
yeah, I have that, like, if you were in my little studio here, it's that like minty menthol chemical.
Mentholatum.
Smell. Yeah, whatever that is.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah.
What up? All right. Well, that's gross. Well,
shout out to Bengay.
Little Bengay, little prep H, little preparation H.
SPT brought to you by the makers of Bengay.
We will sell your geriatric products.
Yeah.
With our own life experience.
Denture cream.
I ain't gone there yet.
No.
No. All right. Well, we do have a Pearl Jam podcast.
Yes.
That's what we're here to do.
What are we talking about today?
The drummers, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just,
How are we going to title this one?
I don't know, man. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
On the fly, like we always do. Fuck it, do it
live.
I was
thinking, like, we don't... Everyone knows there's kind of a, like, drummer controversy, maybe you call it. But, like, we here at SBT don't pick sides.
So well, it depends on the song. I'll totally pick sides.
Well, yeah.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking about live.
Sure, that's true.
I'm just saying we like all of them.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think that's clear.
And I've gone on record saying Dave A is my favorite.
Yeah, there you go. See, you got favorites, man.
But that doesn't mean I hate the other guys.
I know. No, we're on the same boat. I don't know. It's just I've been in kind of drummer mode lately, too.
Yeah. Been
paying attention to that a lot over the last few months. So we've had a couple like drummer-centric episodes recently. So maybe this will be kind of like the last drummer-focused episode for a little while. Move on to something else. But that'd be cool to like talk about you and I. Like we don't know what our moments are, but our favorite kind of moments in songs or recordings or live moments or whatever they are for each of the drummers. So
now let me ask you this. Did you stick to Pearl Jam only?
I did.
All right.
Yeah. I thought about that, but considering we're a Pearl Jam podcast, at least for the first one, maybe we could just do... I was just thinking Pearl Jam only.
Well, there goes half my moments.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
This is really hard. I mean, this is really laid back. Like, I didn't...
Yeah, man. Just
so, bro.
Slow, bro.
Don't harsh my mellow, man. Okay? Yeah,
whatever's clever.
All right? Oh, don't do that ever again. Whatever's clever. God. I just kind of went through. What'd you say?
I know this dude that has a shirt. I think
he's got a shirt.
It says not too fancy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a saying? Or am I saying it wrong? Nothing too fancy? Something like that. In giant, like, block letters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm good like, story.
Cool. That dude's crazy. Fucking prick.
What, man? There's only so much I can do, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't save you every time.
Cut that out. Don't make me look like a fucking idiot.
Oh, wow, Brad.
Somebody emailed. I don't know if you read this. I think it was the real, real long one. But he was like, I wonder sometimes if Lions edits out when you guys like wander off. And I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
It's all in there.
I'm keeping it pure.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. For me, it was just like, I kind of divided it up into like, okay, when I think of this drummer, what are the first songs that come to mind? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did the same thing.
So that was kind of like, you know, these are the classics of this guy or this drummer. And then there's just like, okay, well, regardless of all that, I just have, when I think of my favorite of that person, it's these songs. And then I have like a couple honorable mentions, because especially when you get up into talking about Matt Cameron, like he's got so many records with them now. And the other drummers only had one or two apiece. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, or two and a half for Dave A, I guess. But, I just thought it'd be fun to talk through it. So, we'll do that. But, I guess, you know, if you've never listened to us before, which is so hard to believe. But in case you're new, we are an All Pearl Jam podcast. We pick a different topic every week. Sometimes we have bonus episodes. We're hoping to get back to that a little bit more often soon. But yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Just search Single Podcast Theory and we'll come up. And so thanks for listening. We've also got a Patreon page, patreon.com, patreon.com. If you'd like to, well, it was / Single Podcast Theory, of course. If you'd like to check that out and see or find different ways to support us, that'd be awesome.
Can I mention Patreon real quick?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I put in orders for the stickers.
Yeah, you did.
So, as soon as I get those, I'll be sending them out to you guys that are waiting on them. Been waiting. God, it seems like forever.
Been waiting. Yeah, man. Thanks for getting those out, bro. Let's move into Pearl Jam story time. How about that?
Good evening. This is Storytellers. We are here to tell stories.
We just have friends up here that are listening to stories.
Have I got a little story for you?
This is the true story. True story.
All right, this week's Pearl Jam story time comes to us from Gina Rivera. What's up, Gina?
Oh, Gina.
We got to hang out with her in Wrigley. She says, hey guys, I'm coming to you from the past. Just finished listening to episode 32. Wanted to give you guys... Wait a minute. I thought it'd be cool if we were on episode 64 right now.
Oh, man.
It'd be half.
Do you want to wait? Oh, you know what's weird, dude?
What?
This would have been 64.
What do you mean?
Because we're doing 63 right now. No, but we were going to... If we didn't fuck up with David, this would have been next week, which would have been 64.
What?
Think about that.
Oh, God. Mind blown. All right. I wanted to give you guys full respect by listening to the majority of the podcast prior to sending an email. And here it is now, 32 episodes later. You guys have said respect. Due to time constraints, I will give you... quickly give you a rundown of my discovery and long-term fandom of the best band in the world. I was a transplant to San Jose from Bakersfield, pop punk, California, in 1990. Being in...
Wait.
Huh.
Podunk.
Oh, Podunk. Sorry, pop punk. I was thinking California. God.
Well, Green Day's from Bakersfield.
Have you ever been to California?
No.
Did you have to think about it?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
You did. Well, yeah, you did, didn't you?
I thought.
Did you kind of look up and to the right? Kind of raise your eyebrows for just a second?
Well, I thought, what if I had, because I'd flown out
you don't even need to finish the story. Okay. Being in San Jose exposed me to alternative music and bands that the birthplace of the Bakersfield sound never could. In 92, I caught Jeremy on MTV and was immediately hooked. I've kind of always been a headbanger, but the late 80s found me musically starved with all the cherry pie, loving, touching, hugging, sexed up, hairspray shit being produced. No offense to hairspray. I asked my then boyfriend to promise me that we would go see Pearl Jam if they were within 100 miles from us. I actually drew up a contract and asked him to sign it. The Versus tour was announced and set to hit San Jose State, 1 mile from me, in October 93. Let's see. I went to Tower Records, bought tickets, and walked to the venue. So easy back then. I will always remember that night. The electricity of the crowd still tingles my skin when I think of it. A whistle was blown, and like Pavlov's experiment, we all jumped up and raced towards the stage. Oh, memories. First of many concerts with my next four coming up in August, both Seattle's and both Chicago's. Oh, that's weird. Yeah, this is from the past.
This is, June?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, mid-June. My favorite song of all time is Down. I eventually married the above-mentioned boyfriend. He turned out to be an abuser who enjoyed doing things like burning me with cigarettes. God damn. Mm. I turned from a vivacious, friendly, empowered female to a silent, quiet, beaten-down human. Upon finding the strength to leave him, he kidnapped our 7-year-old son. Holy shit. The authorities told me I might never see my son again. Long story short, my child was returned, and I lost everything. You might think Better Man would be more appropriate, but every time I hear the lyric, I hope, if hope can grow from dirt like me, it can be done, I lose it. My hope grew with little water provided. My son is now 22 and graduated last year from UC Davis with a double major. He received a full ride scholarship. Meanwhile, I dug myself out of debt, restarted college myself, she went for her teaching credentials, and have worked providing for myself since 2010. Hope indeed. I can honestly say my worst day now is better than my best day then. She did a little bit of studio song ranking. I would just say that her number one is Rival. I fucking love that that's her number one.
Yeah.
And number two, oh man, Gina, see, you my girl. A lot of these are like...
Yeah,
number two, Of the Girl. I fucking love it. Deep. Love that song. No Way is one of my favorites off Yield. Anyway, that's the coolest.
You Are? You Are is on
You
there.
Are, dude. Bro!
Yeah, she's got some different...
I Am Mine.
Different ones.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Getaway. My favorite cover... as a favor to both of yours, Sonic Reducer. This song makes me want to drive fast and kick the shit out of anyone who gets in my way. Yeah, girl. I love it so much that I dedicated my car to it. She sent us a picture, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. What is this? Oh, is this about specific episodes? Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She's calling us out, dude.
Okay. Here are a few notes that I've jotted down as I've been enjoying your banter. You both make me smile and laugh every episode. Episode number is prior to fact. Okay. Number 29. There is a tribe. I belong to the PJ Woman's Group, and we call ourselves the tribe. We have a tribe leader, Marilyn. We uplift and support each other, and I met my ticket buddy, Robin, through the group last year. Number two. Was that about... Or the next one in 29, or the first one that I just read, is that like a reference to Strangest Tribe, or?
I think we might have been talking about like the Jamily.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I think Tribe came up, like, why aren't we called the Tribe, like the Strangest Tribe?
Gotcha.
Or something like that. I think that's what she's referring to.
Let's see.
I hope. And we met Robin also.
Yeah, we did.
In Chicago.
Yeah. Also, number 29, a slit drum evolved from an African hollow drum with a slit on the top. I don't know what we would have been talking about for that. That seemed like so long ago. Let's see. Yeah. Motown Philly is Boyz II Men, not Belle Biv DeVoe. God, I hope it wasn't me that got that one wrong.
I'm sure it was me.
William Hung from Idol went to Cal Berkeley with my middle son. As goofy as he was on Idol, he was a campus superstar. Go figure. And Brad B., listen to Neil's live album, Weld. You will really appreciate fucking up. Saw Neil in Crazy Horse 3 weeks ago. He is still rocking like the god that he is. He autographed the only item I had available, my purse. Let's see. If you... Oh, here we go. These amazing guys walked my horrible journey with me when others departed and watched me walk alone. Along the way, I was joined by Soundgarden, Mother Love Bone, and others. The music whispered in my ears words of support and motivation. At the end of the day, people wonder why I'm so upbeat. I really don't know. I'm just glad to be here at this time with this band. I'm happy that you two brothers are walking the road with me. Keep up the great work. Hope to meet you at one of the summer shows. Love you both. Regina. Done and done. Well, we love you too, Regina.
Yeah,
it's cool reading one from back before we met her.
Yeah,
and to know like how much of her personality is in the email. Now that
definitely, yeah,
we know her. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But yeah,
it's cool.
No, and it's funny too. I remember her saying at Wrigley, like, you haven't read my story yet.
Yeah,
I'm like, we're getting
we're
there.
Like, girl, we're way just, behind.
Yeah.
No.
So
well, and I just
no, but you thank know. You, Regina. It was cool meeting her, and we hung out with her a lot over those two or three days. Like she kind of sought us out a few different times.
Ran into her a bunch. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was cool. One of the highlights. And you know, there's some dark stuff in there that she's honest about. But I never would have thought that. That's the thing. You just never know with people. Like she just seems like she's like no bullshit. Got all of her shit together. And I'm not saying she doesn't, or she isn't, you know, no bullshit. I'm just saying everyone's got their baggage, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes it's the most upbeat people that can have the most. But thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it. Who you got next? Little
love your nerd reaction.
Alert from Bagel.
Bagel.
That's our new segment,
in.
Nerd Alert. With Patrick Bagel.
Yes. yeah, and I like this email because there's just no bullshit about it. He just goes right into
there's no
the definition.
Yeah, there's no hello.
It's just boom. Noun. Tincture derives from the same root as tint and tinge. The Latin verb tingere means to moisten or dip. Tincture specifically derives via Middle English from the Latin tinctus, the past participle of tingere. Am I saying that right?
Tingere? I don't know, but I love it. Just keep going.
When the word first appeared in English...
I want to hear you say tinctus after the participle again. Maybe there will be a dangling participle later on.
I'm going to moisten my
tinctus.
Don't
say that word ever again. Can Continue.
Is that up there with fresh?
Stop.
Okay. I have a freshly moistened tinctus.
Okay, I'm about to call you your full first name.
Okay, here we go. When the first... When the word first appeared in English in the 14th century. God fucking damn it. Sorry.
That was totally uncalled for. I don't know what, unless like a snake just bit you on the, you know, the part.
Tinctus?
On the tinctus. There's no reason you needed to react.
It's this fucking notes app on my phone.
Oh, yeah. It couldn't be user error at all, could it?
No. I'm trying to scroll. But because there's a YouTube link, it fucking clicks over to the YouTube video. And I'm just trying to scroll. All
right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Continue.
When the word first appeared in English in the 14th century, tincture referred to a coloring matter or dye. But by the 17th century, the word had acquired a number of additional meanings, including a slight infusion or trace of something. Tinge and shade are two other words referring to the color that can be used the same way. Tincture can also refer, among other things, to the colors used in a coat of arms or an herbal or medicinal solution. So, that's what tincture means.
Yeah, it does.
Thank you, Bagel. And we'll get into that a little more.
Oh, will we?
Another email. And then he sent some other like early versions, like YouTube links.
Yeah, links and stuff.
Cool. Phoenix 95 and Randall's Island 96. Pretty cool listening back to those like at the time they were new. It was a new song, you know?
Yeah. That's weird to think about.
But yes, thank you for the history lesson.
Thanks, Bagel. For the Nerd Alert, Bagel.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. We got
Today's oh, shit. All right, sorry. I just realized today is October 14th.
Okay.
And I saw Pearl Jam in Memphis today, 4 years ago.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
I was sorry.
That's okay. You have these, like, Tourette's, like, outbursts that I'm totally numb and used to. All right, next up we got Steve McCollum. He says, I wasn't going to write in for a while, but couldn't resist when I saw the topic was my favorite Pearl Jam song, like many. To me, this is one of the most sincere songs that epitomizes the band and to what they were going through at the time, and specifically Eddie. This song grabbed me on my first listen with the fade-in of Eddie's guitar, and I immediately grabbed my brother's guitar and figured out the intro. It was this song that led me to purchasing my first guitar, and I remember endlessly trying to nail the G chord for the waiting drove me mad part. It was the Vetter songs that I loved to play the most. Rearview Mirror, Not For You, Better Man, Elderly Woman, and moving towards songs like I Got Shit, Grievance, Insignificance, Parting Ways, and so on. And I eventually bought a Telecaster with a Fender Twin to get as close to Eddie's dirty guitar tone as I could. As for Corduroy, I think what makes this song so interesting is the arrangement, which I totally agree with him, and I love that he wrote this. Because I would write this, he wrote out the arrangement,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote it completely different than I would. And I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm just saying. So he says he writes it down as intro, chorus, verse, bridge, intro, chorus, verse, bridge two, verse, chorus, bridge three, back to the intro, and then the kind of like outro jam or whatever. But it's funny. Unless I'm reading this wrong, I think he thinks of the waiting drove me mad, the ba na na ba ba as the chorus, mm-hmm. and the I will never take what you can give as the verse, and I think of them as the opposite.
Right.
I think of it as going intro into a verse and into a chorus, and I think that's the interesting thing about this song is none of them really sound like. I don't know. They all sound like pre-choruses or something.
Yeah, I was going to say they're... I don't know. Not being like a songwriter, I don't know.
But you know what I mean, though, right?
I do, and I know what he means.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're both verses, but they're different... they're like verses from a different song. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
they don't follow each other, but they're both verses.
Yeah, I wonder if he wrote all that. Yeah, I just wonder how he wrote that song. If he had these like different licks. Eddie. Eddie. That he had like banging around in his head and he ended up putting them together, or if it was written that way, or it'd be interesting to know that.
Read the next line.
Let's see here. Kind of backwards, isn't it? And really, I think we all have a tough time distinguishing what the chorus verses are in the song. Exactly.
Yes.
I also love the evolution of the song, how they have played with the outro part during the live versions. They've had a slowed down acoustic version they played at Bridge School Benefit, and lately they've added some more crowd interactive clapping callback section that has refreshed the song a bit. Let's see here. If I waited to the end of the podcast before typing this email, I would have known Brad B touched on this at the end. Love how the band has done this with other songs in the past, like In My Tree and Jeremy, etc. Lastly, I can say that I've known what Tincture is since December of 1994, thanks to Eddie. Cheers, Steve from Ontario. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got next?
I have got... Oh, Isabella! Every time she writes in, that's what I see, what I hear in my head.
Yep.
No? Don't you?
No, man. Go for it. You do your thing.
All right, Isabella writes in, "Hello to my favorite Brads in this world." That's nice that I am someone's favorite Brad.
A lot of Brads in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She loves it.
I think you're my favorite Brad.
You think so?
So me and her have that in common. Yeah.
Well, I think you're my favorite Brad.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you're the only other Brad I know. Just kidding.
So I'm your... JK. I'm also your least favorite.
You're my favorite and least favorite.
Schrodinger's Brad? Is that how you say that?
I can only hate you if I love you. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Steve.
Oh, damn, dude. Yeah. We are going with the flow today.
Dude, don't fuck up my flow state, bro. Let's get to her email, bro.
All right, this new segment you came up with is so good. Talking about a specific song for a whole episode is a great idea because it allows you to go into its depths. I'm looking forward for others like this. Thank you for going through verse by verse. It made me listen to the song differently, especially this pair. Everything has changed. Absolutely nothing's changed. Take my hand, not my picture. Spill my tincture. When it comes to the first verse, it fits in the category of Pearl Jam lyrics that change meaning according to my mood. So when I'm pessimistic, I tend to hear chains, meaning that it doesn't matter what we do, there's always things pulling us back. When things are better, I hear changed, meaning that differences in life are a matter of perspective, just like this analysis I'm writing here. About the word tincture, I always thought it was the English word for paint. It got me like, why is Eddie singing about spilling paint? Does he want to color the situation? But when Lions mentioned the medicine, it reminded me that we have the same in Portuguese, like tintura de arnica, and tintura is a word also connected to tinta semantically.
Is that where you out, bud?
yeah, that was a lot.
Okay.
I like her emails because she always throws in like a Portuguese translation. You know?
Yeah.
Like I always get like an English lesson from a Brazilian.
That's sad.
Yeah. And I'm sure I said those correctly, right?
Absolutely.
Tintura de arnica. Taking this medicine perspective, I believe that this might be a call for help in a way that he wanted to build better relationships with the audience. Take my hand, not my picture, so that he wouldn't have to take any kind of medicine to cure the pain caused by that overexposure. Yeah, I like that.
Me too.
Just a different, like, take on what tincture is and what it means in a song, you know? She goes on. This is pretty cool, dude. She goes on to tell a story about actually her mother hearing Corduroy. She said, my mom's first experience is much nicer than her first time hearing it. As I mentioned before, she was my mentor into Pearl Jam world. But since she was an underpaid teenager, young adult, having to raise two kids and living in Brazil during the 90s, she couldn't afford buying her favorite international band's albums, which were super pricey. The only alternative left to her was recording on K7 tapes the songs she liked when they were played on the radio, praying that an advertisement wouldn't be placed over them. You remember making, like, mixtapes as a kid from the radio?
Oh, my God, dude.
And, like, trying to edit out.
So much time on my life. Just OCDing the fuck out of whether it was a cassette tape from the radio, whether it was, oh, my God, CD.
But those fucking, like, the commercials they would throw in there, or if they would, like, the worst was, like, you're trying to get the song, and, like, 30 talk seconds
over
before
the top of it.
Yeah. Or at the end, they just fade into the next song.
Or the next car commercial.
Yeah, before the song's even done.
Yeah. Anyway. 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0. Sunday, down at Tom Ford Honda. What?
Yeah. I thought you were about to sing Cars for Kids, and I was like, we're done.
We're done, like, that was the best thing ever, and we can't do any more podcasts.
Oh, no. That was the worst thing ever. Don't ever call me again.
I didn't do that, bud.
Thank you. But now I have Cars for Kids playing in my fucking head. Have you heard that? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, and I don't want to know.
Oh, dude, it's the worst. I'm sure there's people out there that know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to ruin the people who don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to ruin their lives by bringing it up.
You weren't, if you remember way back, you weren't worried about ruining Unplugged for people.
That's true. Did I ruin
you
it for
you?
You
didn't give a fuck.
Well, I've grown since then.
Yeah, you have. All right, let's get back to the email.
All right, so she's talking about her...
Oh,
Brad Lyons just pulled someone a Brad B.
Someone didn't put the studio phones on Night Ring for the weekend.
This is a special moment.
This is special, which has to be left in there now.
Yes. Brad Lyons pulled a Brad. Brad, you Brad beat it.
Yeah.
With your phone nonsense.
We're morphing into each other.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right, go on.
I just want to walk around in your skin. Ugh. What? All right, so this is crazy, dude. The first time she ever heard this song was live at Lollapalooza 2018.
Wow.
She says they weren't sitting together. I was at the rail, and she was far back with my sister. One day, we were listening to Corduroy together, and she said, oh, they played it at Lolla. I loved it. I had never heard it before. I couldn't understand the lyrics, but I loved the overall energy. Me and your sister started jumping and screaming like crazy when the guitars started. God, it's such a great song. Why haven't you introduced me to it before? Yeah, Isabella. Come on. You need to...
Man.
You need to help your elders.
You just jumped on her real quick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. What is it? Mello? Mama Mello? Mama Mello needs all the help she can get. I must confess I envy her a little. Can you imagine hearing Corduroy for the first time on a live performance? It must be almost transcendental. Yeah, dude. I couldn't imagine, like, hearing Corduroy for the first time, like, at a show.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy.
Like, I'm saying, like, for the first time you ever hear it.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be crazy. That's insane. And then she sent in a picture of herself when she's like 3 years old.
Yeah.
Did you see this picture?
I'm looking at it right now.
It's the cutest little thing.
Yeah.
Because she's tiny. I mean, it's like a 3 year old. And the funniest thing is, she said, you know what's in this little girl's mind? They can buy but can't put on my clothes because these are kids' clothes.
Yeah, I lolled when I read that for the first time. Well,
till next week, guys. Yeah. Isabella, thank you.
Thanks, Isabella. Let's move on to we're almost done here. Let's see, we got Matt Massey. What's up, Matt? He says, hey guys, after listening to the Drop in the Park EP, I was looking around on YouTube. Not sure if you guys have seen this before, but the link below, I believe, is from when the original Drop in the Park date was canceled. How cool was it of Eddie to still show up and just talk to some fans? I mean, who does that? Of course, this
who
is
who does that?
I mean, who does that? Yes. Of course, this is before the stalker issues came up. And also, how cool and respectful were these fans? This would not go down this way today. And then he left a YouTube clip, which we'll, I guess, explain. Yes. But and talk about the vintage 90s Ed look. Hashtag swoon. Mm. I love that we have a hashtag swoon. Thought I'd share if you haven't seen this little slice of the 90s. Not very eventful video, but it gets me nostalgic. Matt. P.S. Loved the Corduroy episode. Easy top five song of mine since 94. Hell yeah. Yeah, so this is the video of Eddie showing up on the original show date and just hanging out with fans. You've watched it more recently. It's been a long
time. Yeah, I watched it. I've seen it years ago, but I did watch it when he sent it, and it's just, he's just basically like out in this big field. It's like a park. And there's just like fans talking to him, and it's not like insane, you know. They're just like they actually just look super nervous, a lot of them, but he's just talking to them, and it's funny because it's kind of like it's like a superhero come to life. Like he is like classic 90s Ed with the long, like, wavy hair. He's wearing like the cargo shorts and like the Doc Martens with the like wool socks. You know what I mean? He looks like he just came off stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like jumped out of the like the Evenflow video.
Yeah, there goes those guys. That's just how they dressed.
Yeah,
there's no playing dress up. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
it's cool.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. And then I love it. Like, it seems like he's kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna get out of here. And then he starts talking about like, you need to get out there and vote. Like, yeah. He starts getting like political about stuff, and I'm like, yep. Even back then, you know. Absolutely. But it's pretty cool. I'm gonna put this on Facebook.
Do that.
It'll be up there.
Thanks for sending that along, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Got one more.
I do. Kate.
Look at her. Look at her.
Fucking Cotton.
What's up, Kate?
Hey, Bradicals. Glad to hear Lyne's voice again this week. That guy is pretty cool. I think so, too. Yeah. Love Real the cool. one song. Yeah, man. Cool cat. You're one cool cat. She said that. She said, you're a pretty cool cat, because that's how she talks. Love the one song episode format. Gotta be honest, was a little wary at first, but I don't know why I ever doubted either of you. I kept wanting to butt in on the conversation. And she put, haha, butts. Making a personal request that you cover Jeremy for the next one. So much to talk about there. I will never fucking get tired of that song. Even as a newer fan, it was overplayed in my life growing up, but it's too awesome to ever get sick of. Fight me on this. I dare you.
No.
I agree. Calm down. It's not in my top 10, but it hovers in the watchful cloud above. Why am I emailing you guys? I don't know. Old habits die hard. Much love from your barnacle. Kate motherfucking Cotton.
Yeah, Kate.
Kate MFC.
I actually had I had a lot of fun doing that episode as well. Just like the one song vibe.
Yeah.
It's funny because usually it was your idea to do. And like the weird thing about it is that usually your ideas are terrible.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But this one was... Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
It worked. Yeah. For some reason, it worked. We got a lot of good feedback. Like, people were seemed to be into it.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. I can't wait to do the next one.
Yeah.
Was there anything else we needed to address? No.
No.
Thanks, Kate. All right, should we talk about drummers, dude?
Let's talk about some drummers.
Let's talk about some motherfucking drummers. All right, so let's do this in chronological order, you know, starting with earliest to most recent.
Sure.
So we have not talked about the little songs or moments or whatever that we picked out. This again, this is like super laid back, and I just tried to do it real, kind of put myself on the spot, and just write down the first songs that I thought of with each drummer. So that's how I attacked it, but. I'm sure you probably did a little bit different, but hopefully there'll be some overlap.
About
in there.
The same.
All right, so let's start with Mr. Dave Crewson.
Yes.
What you got down for him?
I mean, I don't have. There's not a lot to say about him. You know what I mean? Or like, there's not a lot of Dave Crewson moments out there because all I know is that he was a drummer on 10, and I didn't even know that for the first couple years. But one thing that always stuck out with me is when they re-released the Redux version of 10. I think it was Jeff. I don't know. It was one of those dudes said that like Dave was like the secret weapon of that album. And the two things that always stuck out to me was like Ed's voice.
Yep.
They like took all the like echo out of his voice and the drums are like
more aggressive.
Right fucking like Front Street. I mean, you can really hear the drums. And if I had to pick out a song for people to listen to, like back to back, like listen to Why Go. The Redux version is just like the drums are so much just like louder and cleaner. And like the biggest thing is like his hi-hats. Like this, you can hear the hi-hats a lot more for some reason in the Redux version of Why Go.
Yeah, I mean, got some Brendan O'Brien EQ and aren't drenched in verb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're, like, aggressive and in your face. That's cool. Yeah, yeah, I mean, for me, like, the classics, when I think of Dave K, definitely is Why Go is one of them for me as well. And it's because that drum beat at the intro, first of all, if you're young and you're wanting to learn how to play drums, something like that is, like, that's like a drum solo for you or something.
Yeah.
Because you can't do drum solos yet. You're just learning how to play that beat. And I feel like that beat was, or kind of versions of that beat was all over 90s music. It wasn't just him, because Dave continued using some of that stuff on verses and even into Vitology a little bit. That like those kind of kick drum patterns were all over 90s rock and roll, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, he has a moment for that record, but to me, it's also like kind of represents that period of time as well.
Yeah,
in music.
Definitely. And that song is it's an A side, you know, but it kind of is like the deep cut because, you know, you've got Evenflow, Alive, Jeremy, Black. Like those songs are huge, but Why Go is kind of like not forgotten, but it doesn't have the like. I don't know how you say it, cachet of that, those other songs.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but it's that's funny. I mean, Why Go is like one of my. I don't know. I always love it when that song comes on.
Yeah,
my
me
iPod
too.
Or whatever. You know
definitely.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I'll actually seek that one out. I always loved how easy he made one of the. And this is a theme that I've. Found myself thinking about a lot as thinking through each drummer, but when there are odd time signatures in Pearl Jam's music, and Why Go has moments of that, their drummers always know how to pull that off without making it sound like proggy math rock, like, oh, we just added another beat because we can. Like, they make it musical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he does that, and that transition from the intro to kind of like the repeat intro. There's this like extra half of a beat or something that they add in. It's weird. But he makes it feel really cool. Anyway, nerd talk.
Oh, this whole section of this episode is going to be
like Nerdville USA.
Yes, yeah. Nerd town.
But when I think of him, I think of like just like I like the way you put it. If I was going to play a song for somebody and be like, mm-hmm. this is him, I would probably play Evenflow.
Yeah.
Because it has like a little bit of everything that kind of sticks out to me, you know, that represents Dave K as a player. I don't know. But my favorite's Deep. I fucking love it. What?
Nothing. Sorry.
What's so funny?
Just being a 12-year-old.
Oh, God, dude.
Sorry.
No, you're not. No, you're not at all. But anyway, I love how you like laugh and interrupt the episode, but then you won't. You're like, oh, nothing. Nothing. Oh, wait, but you just laughed. Nothing.
Because now I'm embarrassed that I laughed and you're, you know,
it's called impulse control. Okay, yeah, Brad B?
I don't have it.
You learn it when you're like 10 years old.
Well, I was beaten out of me.
Oh, man. Why'd you have to turn it on me like that? Damn.
I just meant, I don't know what I meant.
Anyway, so, yeah. I mean, to me, Dave K is like, he's a groove player. He's, if any of the drummers had any real jazz background, I would think it would be him. I don't know if that's true or not, but he kind of has that kind of, in a good way, kind of looseness to him. Like, he can kind of, like, float tempos a little bit, and you don't really notice it. It's not abrupt, you know? But he does all this cool, groovy shit, but then on Deep, he just... It's very, like, animal Dave A-like drumming on that.
Yeah.
Just tons of fucking cymbals and fills, and it just adds so much to the intensity of that song. So he can rock like a motherfucker, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm boring you with my drummer talk?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
So bad. We have to just end right now.
Okay.
All right. Ahead. Until next week. I'm just kidding. All right. That's it about Dave K then?
The other thing I thought was a cool moment was him performing live at the Hall of Fame.
Hell yeah.
Introduction. I thought that was pretty cool. And he's, like, up on stage. He's behind Eddie, you know, just by, like, a weird... The way they did it. So he's on screen, like, the entire time everyone is giving their speech. Dave Cruzan is, like, right behind them. So But that's cool. It's cool to see him up there with them again. And playing alive with them is, like, that was awesome. That was cool.
Moment. He sounded great.
Yeah.
Because he still plays.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys do.
Yeah. There's not one
drummer that's like, you know, burnt out after you know, their time with the band was done or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to Matt Chamberlain, because that's gonna be real fucking fast.
Yes.
Dude, a live video, done. Done. I mean, dude, no one needs to talk about Matt Chamberlain because he's fucking rich. He's played on some of the most like iconic recordings of the last, I don't know, 25 years at least. You know, obviously it was just a very temporary fill-in for Pearl Jam, but what a badass. But as far as Pearl Jam goes, I don't give a fuck. Moving on to Dave A.
Yes.
You know, for many of us, this was the Pearl Jam's first drummer, quote-unquote. even if not technically true. But what you got about Dave A?
Oh boy, I mean, let me go through all of them.
Well, I mean, what do you?
I'll just tell you, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of Dave is the Unplugged performance, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because that was probably the first like visual thing I'd ever seen them perform. You know, because back then it wasn't like bootlegs were readily available to me as a 16-year-old. Videos, you know?
Sure.
So just seeing him and seeing like his style of playing, you know, and even the like camera direction, it's not just like one static camera. It seems like they're kind of like moving around him. Like you get a few different angles and stuff of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's like one of my favorite things is just watching him play. You know, and I don't know if he's definitely a performer
and a player. You know.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if it's the same for. I guess I don't know. You could tell me if this is how it is for other people, but like, for me, like I never took a drum lesson.
Never had one lesson.
I just always put on headphones and try to mimic what I was hearing. But some of that shit you can't. You have to see them playing. So to see him playing those parts, I could figure out like, oh, that's how he's doing that specific part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that how it is for like real musicians?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's why those video performances on video on VHS or whatever back then were so important and like sought after. It was just like,
that makes sense.
For me anyway, because I could. You know, look and see how a guitar player was playing a chord, because I know it's an E chord, but fuck, why doesn't mine sound the same as his? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same with drums. I learned a lot of shit by watching people.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other thing is, like, with that same theme of being able to see him, there are videos of Dave that they took from overhead on YouTube, and there's one for it's basically just like a what's it called, like before you play, it's like a sound check for the song Alone.
Yeah.
And then there's one, but that one's a little rough to watch, but then there's one for Porch. And it's actually them. It's I don't know what show it's from, but they're actually playing, and it's pretty incredible footage. Like looking straight down at the top of his head, and you just get to see him playing Porch, and it just gives you like an appreciation of this dude. Like he just, for me, it's like his cymbals. Like his playing his cymbals is just, he's a fucking maniac. It's awesome, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's like, he leaves no fucking note unturned. You know, it's not just bass, snare. I mean, he is rocking the shit out of every cymbal and just using everything.
Yeah, he is. He's rocking the shit out of it, dude. I'm with you.
Like notes in between notes.
Yeah, well,
the cymbals.
So that's one of the things, when I think of kind of like, I don't know, classic Dave A, like the ones that come to mind for me are... Mm-hmm. Last Exit, Corduroy, and for what you're talking about, oddly enough, is Dissident. Because he's the first person that I really noticed. And this was kind of a 90s thing, too. I don't know who would be credited with the first one to do it. But I know, like, Sean Kenny, Allison Chain's drummer did it some. But the whole, like, on the intro, your favorite part, the... Bow, 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 he does that beat where he's hitting the kick and choking off the hi-hat at the same time on those upbeats.
Yeah.
He did that in Daughter. He did that in a lot of songs. But to me, that always sticks out in my head from that song. Something like very specific that I was like, oh, well, I have to learn how to do that now, you know?
Yeah. One of the, to me, like his signature move is that the splash cymbals.
Yeah. So he can like, accent like a chord change or something if it's like a down verse without doing a huge cymbal crash.
Yep. Just get that little, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you could also argue that it's like too much.
I wouldn't make that argument.
I'm not making that argument. I'm just
saying. I love it.
Some people would.
I love it because he's the only one doing it.
What do you mean?
Like too much cymbals? I don't think there's a lot of drummers out there that are like as cymbal heavy as he is.
No, I'd agree with that. I mean, no one uses splash cymbals anymore. That was a very 90s thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Splash cymbals and China cymbals. Died after the 90s for sure.
Wow. Lars is still rocking that China.
Well, he's Lars.
Well.
I mean, what the fuck? My favorites, though, are... It's hard because he's got, like, these really musical moments, like WMA and Indifference. Right. But... You know, obviously, my favorites have to be like Last Exit and Go. Those would be two that kind of I think of first as far as like my favorites with him.
Yeah, definitely Go. He gets writing credit on Go, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't he come up? He came up with that riff, didn't he?
I think
it
was the riff, yeah.
Yeah. But he just opens that fucking record with that song, and it's, yeah, that's a good moment.
Well, both those songs are great. Drum moments as far as opening records, you know, both Versus and Vitology.
Yeah.
They both start with a weird little kind of like tail end of some sort of jam and then both kick into the songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any. I mean, he also had stuff as far as writing. He wrote Angel, right?
Yeah, that was the other thing I had wrote down was Angel because I didn't know for a long time that he wrote that. But I, from the moment I heard that song, I love it.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty cool video. I think it's a Bridge School performance where, he comes out and plays guitar and Eddie sings that song.
Yeah. And I remember it's like, that video.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, who knows the drama between those two dudes, but it's nice to see it like a nice moment between them where Eddie's like, he was making a joke about, they promised they would let the drummer play a song on guitar because they couldn't fit his whole drum set on stage. Cause I think he just played like bongos at that show.
Something stripped down.
And then, you know, hippie Dave, he grabs the acoustic guitar and sits down like Indian style, just plops down on the stage. You know,
fucking hippies. Like, he's sitting Indian style.
Well, I'm just saying, what are they like, thinking? You don't sit on like a stool or something. I don't know. It was just funny.
Yeah,
but it's a cool little hippie Pearl Dave. Jam moment.
Hell yeah, it is. Yeah,
and I love that song. Way back when
moment. Yeah, I remember listening to that demo. What that was on one of the Christmas singles, right?
Or
one
of the 10 Clove releases. Yeah, I think so. It's not on Lost Dogs, is it?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not on there. All right, well, you want to move on to Mr. Irons, or you got more stuff with Dave A?
No, I think we're good.
All right.
Jack Irons.
I mean, first of all, we can't talk. What?
I think we're about to like say the same thing.
What, in my tree?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
what?
I was going to say, I do have that on my list, but just Hail Hail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just the way it fucking punches you as soon as it starts, and it's all because of that snare drum.
Well, he's fascinating because he's like two different drummers. You've got the type of drummer that he is... That's doing all the really like tribal, In My Tree, Who You Are type vibe, which is obviously to me like that's like his wheelhouse. I feel like that's when he kind of shines the most, is that kind of stuff. Like,
definitely
heavy on the percussion, a lot of tom work, stuff like that. But then you've got the other one, the other Jack, that's, you know, playing Hail Hail and Brain of Jay and all kinds of stuff that's like on the opposite end of the spectrum from that more tribal sounding stuff, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's interesting. That's one of the reasons why I've always loved him. I mean, I definitely was like a butthurt young kid for a little bit when
over Dave.
When I found out Dave A was getting
fired
or left or whatever it was, because you know, at that age, I literally like I was growing up with them. You know what
right?
I mean?
Yeah, and you're not gonna like mommy's new boyfriend.
Not when you're when you're like 17 years old or however old it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, it didn't take long for me to come around and see the beauty in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just a different sound. And that is the thing, is like, I think he is the most unique drummer that they had.
Oh, I'll give you that. Yeah.
You can never, I just don't think you can mistake hearing a recording and, you know, not knowing that it was Jack.
Right.
He has
I got to say, I mean, If you like his more tribal stuff, you got to check out his solo records. They're so fucking good.
Yep.
What's that?
I dipped into him a little bit. After that episode.
I got to point him out because I didn't. I mean, he's got 3 or 4 albums out there, and I never knew he had any solo records out, and I just started listening to him because doing research for the episode on him, and I love it. I love that. Super like instrumental drum heavy music that he puts out. So
yeah, absolutely. What else did I put here? I mean, Who You Are has got to get honorable mention for me on there as well, but
yeah,
my favorites are definitely like the ones I wrote down for favorites, which is weird. There's only one from Yield, and those are like pretty much my two favorite records are No Code and Yield. But my like very favorites I wrote down just in the moment was In My Tree, Hail Hail, and Brain of Jay, as far as Jack goes.
Yeah.
Because he's brutal on Brain of Jay. It's just gross and nasty.
Yeah.
Fucking love it.
Well, I checked out Seattle 96. Of In My Tree. Because he is just like all fucking like, it's like arms and elbows just flying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like,
I mean,
because we talk about like, you know, this drummer playing a different drummer's song.
Right.
And Matt does a pretty good but subdued version of In My Tree. But it's like it's all on his wrists. But when you watch Jack playing it, his fucking arms are just flying around.
Yeah, it's
around.
Weird, man.
It changes the sound of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but it's just like, his arms are just like all over. It's like the Matrix when Neo's like fighting. That's what it looks like when Jack is playing In My Tree. And it's awesome, you know?
Hell yeah. Agreed. And then, I mean, then he does stuff like Lucan and Habit and God, the whole fucking Mirrorball record. And
yeah, I wrote that down too. Long Road.
Damn, dude. Long Road.
It's because it's such a, he's like you said, he's two different drummers. He's doing shit like In My Tree where he's going crazy, but then like Long Road is just that real simple like you know, it's like a real simple beat, but then it comes in kind of like he crashes in,
yeah,
you know, about halfway through. And I mean, just there's, I wish there was more stuff with him.
Well, and just there's the, I mean, this isn't all him, but you know, when he finally comes in on Present Tense, that snare sound just fucking crack,
yeah,
of a snare sound, you know. All right, let's move on.
I just wish that the band would kind of dip into the vaults and start releasing more shit from 95, 96, you know,
as far as bootlegs go.
Yeah, as far as bootlegs, because there's not a lot of Jack centric stuff out there.
It's hard to
there's
find.
Tons of stuff from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then obviously there's 2000 on when they started recording everything and putting releasing everything. But man, that little slice of the late 90s with Jack is just there's it's not out there. Not like quality recordings.
Sure.
So I know they listen. Get on that, Eddie. Come on.
Come
man.
On, Ed. Hot damn.
There's no drama with Jack. Put that shit out.
That's true. But I love too how like Dave kind of had some of that tribal,
yeah,
world. Why is that world music? It's you know what I'm saying though. Mm-hmm. With stuff like I almost said NWA, WMA. And just how different it is though.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know.
Well, Jack Dave A had that
primal kind of. Pulsing kind of vibe to it, whereas Dave is just so kind of aggressive but musical.
Well, I think he comes metered. From more of like a funk background,
yeah,
so there's that thrown into, you know, just a rock band. Well, alternative rock band,
I think, if I could be wrong, you guys fact check me on it, but he I think he went to college in Texas and studied drums with Chamberlain. They both came out of Texas. Texas has some really good colleges for drum corps and stuff like that. So he had that really like trained kind of thing that you get out of drum corps as well, or at least being mm-hmm. part of programs like that. Whether he was actually
That would make sense because he's real
tight.
I was gonna say like kind of big on. Like drum rolls and fills.
It's true. He does do a lot of the diddles. Yeah, man. Paradiddles and the like.
Right.
Sorry. Double strokes. They call them double strokes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to double stroke your diddle.
If I've said that once, I've said it 1,000 times. Right. I tell you what.
That's
we're on the
rule
same
number
page
one,
this, man.
Yeah, that's rule number one.
That's why we do a podcast together. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to Matt fucking Cameron. How about that? So this is where it gets really hard because he's got so many records with him. You know? Yeah. Like, Dave Cruzan's only got one. Dave A's only got, you know, well, he's only got two.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd even play on every song on the second one.
Yeah.
Jack's two.
Jack's only got two.
And then, you know, what does Matt have? Six? No. Five?
Five. It's got to be five.
Something like that. Binaural,
Riot Act.
Yeah, it's got to be five. 10 records, five on him, two, two, and one.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I can do simple math.
Math is fun.
All right, so how did you approach this with Matt Cameron?
I just kind of was looking like at live stuff.
So funny. We didn't talk about anything, and you naturally go to the live stuff, and I naturally go to recording.
Yeah. No, I just kind of looked at there's some like Matt cams from one of the DVDs.
Yeah.
Where it's just like one static camera, like from his like floor tom level. And it's just cool to watch him because he is such a like a mechanic, you know. He's not. I think I said it early on in the show. Like he's stiff, but he's not stiff, you know.
Sure, I know
but
what you
just
mean.
To watch him play like Evacuation or Even Flow or even In My Tree, it's just cool to see the way he does it. Where, It's just different. It's a lot different than Dave or Jack.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the cool thing, too, is, like, they never hired a drummer that was just, like, all the drummers were very important parts of the band and kind of changed the voice of the band as a collective with each one. You know, like,
yeah,
Matt has his own voice as a drummer, and you can hear it all over the place. And how, you know, they've always done odd time signature stuff, but that's like his wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying?
And I think he has a lot more to do with the songwriting process, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's got to. I mean, there's a lot of songs that have him, you know, as the songwriter, at least one of them. And I'm not talking about just like those tracks that like everyone gets credit on this, like,
right? No, I'm talking about like You Are is all him, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he demoed the music at home. I mean, I'm sure that Eddie wrote the vocals and the lyrics, but
yeah,
I think he probably wrote all the music.
Yeah, and that's like one of my favorite songs by them ever.
Yeah, I had a really hard time with him, like. When I wrote down, like, the first things that came to my mind were God's Dice, Can't Keep, Grievance, Life Wasted. I love the drums. His playing on that song is fucking one of the reasons why I love that song so much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hate that song? Is that the one you don't like?
Grievance?
No, Life Wasted.
Oh, Life Wasted. I don't love it.
Yeah.
It's basic.
Honk. Whatever, dude.
Yeah, it's honk, honk.
It's basic. It's all right.
It's, yeah. That's the one that I don't really love the song, but the lyrics, like, get me like, oh, man, I have wasted my life.
Oh, dude, that part.
That's cool. I like that part.
God, I got to prove it to you. I just gotta let it go, man.
I don't hate it. I mean, I just don't love it.
Okay.
That's different than hating it. It's no disrespect.
I just want you to love it.
I know. Oh.
I want both of us to love that song. It'll be like our song. Life Wasted.
We're gonna dance. Song. We'll dance to it.
So dumb. What did you write down? What songs stuck out to you?
Well, like I said, Evacuation. there's not a lot that really stuck out to me, like on the records so much. I think his playing in Soundgarden sticks out a lot more to me than his playing in Pearl Jam as far as studio albums go.
Okay.
Because he doesn't really have a lot of, like, huge, like, crazy drum fills on Pearl Jam stuff. But, like, you know, Rusty Cage, Jesus Christ Pose, like, he's kind of going crazy in those songs.
Yeah, but, okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree, and I totally agree that Matt was his drumming was a huge part of the sound of Soundgarden.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
But the way he's playing those songs, he doesn't really have any moments, like, I don't know how to say it, like drum solo, like the beginning of Rusty Cage could be just a drum solo, but they built like a song around that intro, right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They don't really do that in any of these Pearl Jam studio songs.
Yeah. Man, I just feel like, I mean, sit down, like we already mentioned Grievance, like, I mean, the drums to that are fucking insane.
Yeah. Well, Insignificance.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
In the Moonlight.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I didn't think about
Sleight of Hand. Holy shit.
I didn't even go to Lost Dogs. Dude, I told you I can't listen to Sleight of Hand.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
It's a good song. But it's too much feels.
Okay, what about Rival? Holy shit. What, the drums on Rival?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's just like the one drummer you don't get as excited about. I guess it's all relative, I guess.
That's true. I don't. Again, I don't hate the dude. I love him.
I'm not saying that you do, bro.
Okay. All right.
Well, you're saying, man. Like, coming
a little hot. I don't get excited about him. Giving to Fly is pretty cool live.
Holy shit. This is kind of blowing my mind a little bit.
I told you.
I mean, the Can't Keep starts with just him playing that badass groove. Nothing. Okay, let me think of something else here.
But what do you got?
Okay, maybe the subtlety of, and this goes to what him being a good songwriter, of the girl. I mean, he spends half the song just doing four on the floor and the kick. That's a good drummer.
He's a great drummer.
Okay, well, you can't even, like, find something.
I just did.
Just Giving to Fly live is pretty cool. Is your contribution to the Matt Cameron segment of Let's Talk About the Drummers?
Here's the thing. I think outside of Pearl Jam, I like that stuff more. If we're talking about Matt Cameron.
Okay. Well, just so, talk about, like, him as a drummer in general, then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Jesus Christ Pose? That whole song is just insane on drums.
So you like the more, like, metered, like, kind of like on the click Matt Cameron in Soundgarden?
I think I know what that means, yes.
Well, Pearl Jam's just like a looser band. Like, you know, they have a lot of riffs and stuff like that, but they have a more kind of like loose...
Yeah, he's way more, like, subtle and subdued on these Pearl Jam records than he is even his solo stuff. Like, that Cave Dweller album, I like it a lot. And I like, what he's doing on that album.
Yeah, man, I like his stuff on that Cave Dweller record as well.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of flavor, I guess. And I like that stuff a lot, his solo stuff a lot.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like it's interesting that we, again, this, like you said, like, it's not like you think he's a terrible drummer or anything like that.
Not at all. I'm not. I mean, you see, and I don't know. I'm on Facebook a lot more than you, but I see people, like, coming down on him and saying, like, Dave A is the best, and, like, I love Matt and I love Dave A. I love all these dudes. But some of them, you know, do more for me than others.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear you. I think there is one song that he kind of entered into almost maybe Jack Irons territory. Like, the drums, if you listen to all the drums that are on Pendulum, it's a really cool kind of, like, groove built out of, like, just overdubbed tom stuff and, like, a verbed out snare and kick and percussion and shakers. And if you, like, really pay attention to it, there's a lot going on there, and it's really fucking cool.
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about Lightning Bolt, but yeah, Pendulum definitely would be in that, like, tribal. Would it be tribal? Probably not, but
it fits in that
tom. It's kind of tom heavy.
Yeah, Tom Heavy, it's just got a different kind of groove to it. It's not just, you know, him playing, not that I don't love this, I do love this, but it's not just, like, straight ahead, you know, kind of dumb rock and roll, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a thoughtful, kind of orchestrated, percussive part that he's put together. It's really cool if you just sit and pay attention to it, but...
Well, even, like, My Father's Son.
Hell yeah.
Just that intro. And it's got a pretty straightforward, like, heavy beat throughout the whole song. It's shit like that I love.
Beginning of Mind Your Manners.
Mm-hmm.
When they're doing the...
Yeah.
That's sick shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's wrap it up, man. We went through every drummer.
Oh, we went through... This was a journey, this episode.
It was a journey. Learned a lot about you today, Brad B. Yeah. Dig it.
Ups and downs and...
All right, well, next week we'll be back. We don't know what the episode is going to be. It'll be episode 64. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us. Our email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. And you can find us on all the social media places like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and I don't know, probably other places too. You can listen to us on YouTube. Did I leave anything out other than Patreon? You can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory and check out ways to support the show if you feel like you want to do that. So check that out. I think we're going to get out of here, bro.
Yeah.
You ready, bro?
I think.
All right. Well, until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
Yeah. All right. I am. I'm Brad Blazek saying, please think of me because I am by your side.
I am right by your side.
Yes.
Peace.
Love that fucking song. Be good.
No, I'm dead.
Fuck yeah.
God, oh, the worst place for a goiter.
That reminds me, I just saw a picture and it was a dude that sat in a plastic lawn chair naked and like the slats opened up and his balls like went through and then they like closed back up because he tried to stand up and take his weight off of the chair. And it was a picture of him like bent over and all you could see was the bottom of the chair and his nuts hanging out and like the paramedics were like trying to help him. I should have saved that picture and sent it to you. It's so fucked up.
I can't believe you didn't save it. You seem like someone that saves every one of those that you see. I feel like on your Windows 95 machine you have like a folder on the desktop. Yeah, it's just like,
yeah,
Brad's picks. Brad's interweb picks. He's just like, well, what do you want here? You want ball picks? You want, I got goiters. You want to see goiters?